The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 6, Text Number 37, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on February 14th, 2016, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na aham yuyam yat ritam gatim vidu na vamadeva kim uta apare sara tat mayaya mohita buddhaya tu idam vinirmitim cha atma samam vichakshmahe.
All callers are muted.
Nahang na yuyam yad Nahang na yuyam ravritam gatir vidur Navama deva kimuta paresara Tanmaya ya mohita buddha yastvidam Vinirmitim chatma samam vichakshmahe Nahang na yuyang rangritam gatim vidur Navama deva kimutaparesara Tanmaya ya mohita buddha yastvidam Vinirmitam chatmat samang vichakshmahe Neither. I. Yuyam. All you sons. Yet. Whose. Ritam. Factual. Gatim. Movements. Vidu. Do know. Na. Nor. Vamadeva. Lord Shiva. Kim, what, uta, else, apare, others, sura, demigods, tat, by his, mayaya, by the illusory energy, mohita, bewildered, buddhaya, with such intelligence, to, but idam, this vinirmitam, what is created, cha, also atma samam, by dint of one's personal ability, vichakshmahe, observe. Translation purport, by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Since neither Lord Shiva, nor you, nor I, could ascertain the limits of spiritual happiness, how can other demigods know it? And because all of us are bewildered by the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord, we can see only this manifested cosmos according to our individual ability. Report. We have many times mentioned the names of the 12 selected authorities, Dvadasha Mahajana, of which Brahma, Narada, and Shiva head the list as first, second, and third in order of merit of those who know something of the Lord, Supreme Lord. Other demigods, semi-demigods, Gandharvas, Charanas, Vidyadharas, human beings, or Asuras, cannot possibly know fully about the potencies of the absolute truth, Lord Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna. The demigods, semigods, Gandharvas, etc., are all highly intelligent persons in the upper planets. The human beings are inhabitants of the intermediate planets, and the Asuras are inhabitants of the lower planets. All of them have their respective conceptions and estimations of the absolute truth, as does the scientist or the empiric philosopher in human society. All such living entities are creatures of the material nature, and consequently they are bewildered by the wonderful display of the three modes of material nature. Such bewilderment is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 7.13, Tibir gunamayar bhavar evi sarvamidam jagat. Every entity beginning from Brahma down to the ant is individually bewildered by the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone thinks in terms of individual capacity that this universe which is manifested before us is all in all. And so the scientist in the human society of the 20th century calculates the beginning and end of the universe in his own way. But what can the scientist know? Even Brahma himself was once bewildered, thinking himself the only one Brahma favored by the Lord, but later on, by the grace of the Lord, he came to know that there are innumerable more powerful Brahmas as well, in far bigger universes beyond this universe. And all these universes combined together form Ekapad Vibhuti, or the one-fourth of manifestation of the Lord's creative energy. The other three-fourths of his energy are displayed in the spiritual world, and so what can the tiny scientist with a tiny brain know of the absolute personality of God at Lord Krishna? The Lord therefore says, Mohitam nabijanati mam evyaparam avyayam. Bewildered by such modes of nature, they cannot understand that beyond these manifestations is a supreme person who is the absolute controller of everything. Brahma, Narada, and Lord Shiva know about the Lord to a considerable extent, and therefore one should follow the instructions of these great personalities instead of being satisfied with a tiny brain and its playful discoveries such as spacecraft and similar products of science. As the mother is the only authority to identify the father of a child, so the mother Vedas presented by the recognized authorities such as Brahma, Narada, or Shiva is the only authority to inform us about the absolute truth. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Svaminiti namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine. Once upon a time, there was a frog, and this frog was a very, very learned frog. In fact, he had a PhD from Harvard. Of course, it's a story, it's an example. So he was not Frog, he was Dr. Frog. You see? Dr. Frog, PhD. You see? So he had a well, a very nice well somewhere in the U.S., and he was very proud of his well. That my body of water, my well, is the biggest body of water in the whole world. So he had one student named Freddie. And Freddie liked to hop. He was a hop, very hopping, hoppish frog. He decided to go out hopping and do a little exploring one day. He went hopping, hopping, hopping for many miles, actually. And he came to the shore of the Atlantic Ocean. And he went, wow. Dr. Frog always said his body of water was the biggest body of water in the whole world, but wow. This is inconceivably big. Dr. Frog's well is just like a little puddle compared to this. So in great ecstasy, he went back to, hopping back to Dr. Frog's well. Dr. Frog, I found a body of water much bigger than your well. Much bigger than my well. That is not possible. My body of water, my well is the biggest well in the whole world. How you can say such a thing? You're crazy. No, Dr. Frog, it's much bigger than your well. Really? Well, how much bigger is it? So Dr. Frog is thinking maybe a few inches bigger, you see. So he puffed up his chest a little bit. You know how frogs can puff their chest up. He says, this is much bigger than my well? A few inches, right? No, Dr. Frog, it's much bigger than that. Well, is it this much bigger than my well? A little further, you see. He puffed his chest up even further, stretched it as far as he possibly could. No, Dr. Frog, it's so much bigger than... He said, is it this much bigger? He blew himself up, you see. So he exploded. He puffed himself up. He blew. He exploded. He popped his chest and he died. So these scientists, they are simply Dr. Frogs, thinking that they have now understood everything about reality. They haven't even understood this one little tiny universe. What to speak of the multi-universes, which are only one-fourth of the entire creation, you see. And they expect us to believe them, to give them big, big posts, Nobel laureates, you see, big, big fatty salaries. All these Dr. Frogs are misguiding the world at the present time. So we should be like Freddie, you know, not just blind followers of Dr. Frog. We should use our own intelligence, try to see things. Unlike Dr. Hawkins, he says, everything comes out of nothing. I mean, use a little common sense. Everything comes out of nothing. Where is any example of that ever, you see? You have to use a little common sense. That's all. But these scientists, they have no common sense. They simply have common nonsense, you see. They've invented this false idea that life comes from matter, and they accept it as it's their common nonsense. They had this illusion that life comes out of matter, you see. But life doesn't come out of dead matter. You can't produce anything from dead matter. You cannot produce any living thing from dead matter. It's never been done. Just let them try to do it in their laboratory, to take some dead matter and produce a living thing out of it. They cannot do that. It's not possible. Life comes from life. Living things come from living things. They don't come out of dead matter like the scientists want us to believe. So we should be a little intelligent and not follow them. See, can you all... I have some comments coming here from... Can you all hear me? Let me try. I'm talking to the computer people now on the internet. Let's see if we have a problem here with the sound. No, it's full. There's noise in the background. Is there any noise in the background? Is the washing machine still going on? Is the heater turned on? Yeah, I don't know what the noise is in the background.
The fan on your computer is on.
The fan on the on a Mac?
Yeah, select the device for sound input, something. I guess something.
Yes, the fan is pretty noisy.
There's a fan in the computer. I didn't know they had a fan in here.
No, like it's a hissing sound.
Anyway, just tolerate the background noise. There's a hissing sound. Like rain.
It's just the fan.
There's a fan inside the Mac. I didn't know that. No way to deactivate the fan.
No, it's probably a little hot for some reason. Yeah, you can feel it's hot.
All right. We'll put it here. Maybe it'll be better. Okay, well, sorry about the hissing sound, like the rain. At least you can hear my words beyond the hiss, and that's good. I know a way. If this is a big problem every day, there's a way around it. Put a microphone, external mic, so you're not. Right now, the mic is right here in the computer, so it's picking up the computer noise. But so anyway, there were some questions from. One of our devotees here. And so I'm going to take some time to answer those questions, except for the personal one, I'm not going to answer that one. The other questions I'll answer. Number 8 will not be answered. They'll be privately answered. So here's some nice questions. Can we select our Guru Maharaj based on finding the Guru's mood in line with our mood? Like, for example, he emphasizes more on preaching or book distribution. Is the mood of the guru, and the disciple also has the same mood. Can we select a guru based on such criteria? How about if the same guru also emphasizes on deity worship, and the disciple has no taste on it? Actually, the spiritual master emphasizes pure devotional service. A bona fide guru simply emphasizes pure devotional service. For some devotees, he'll emphasize deity worship. Some he'll emphasize book distribution, according to time, place, and circumstance. These are relative emphases. But the bona fide spiritual master emphasizes pure devotional service because that's the essence. If you do book distribution but you don't develop pure love of God in your heart, you're in trouble. If you do deity worship, you develop pure love of God in your heart, you're in trouble. An example of this is I was in Atlanta back in 75 with Prabhupada, and one of my dear godbrothers, Naranta Prabhu, was a book distribution leader, party leader. He came back from book distribution. He was there, and he, with great enthusiasm, he stood up. He said, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? Because, you know, Prabhupada always emphasized book distribution. And so everybody is, wait, how will Prabhupada answer this one? Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. That's it. So the bona fide spiritual master emphasizes love of Krishna. If he emphasizes the book distribution but not love of Krishna, I would have wondered, well, what's going on here? Because love of Krishna is the essence. If he emphasizes the deity virtue of book distribution but not developing pure love for Krishna. Okay. Then I would have questions about taking such a spiritual master. I would have doubts about it myself. What if a spiritual master seems to be very strict in giving his instructions? Jai, he's the one you need. You don't want a loose guru. New age, loose guru. I'm okay, you're okay. It's cool, man. Whatever you want to do is cool. Just pay me your dakshina. You don't want such a guru. He's your enemy. You want a strict guru. I see. Like a thunderbolt. That's the kind of guru you need, thunderbolt guru. The disciple might not be in a position to follow them 100% due to some practical situations, or maybe his or her weakness. Then don't take initiation, that's all. Just wait until you get a little more sober and intelligent. So if you select him as a guru, yes, you need the strict guru. For example, you find the guru's instructions to be very strict, like attending Mangal Arati every day without fail, or strict celibacy. Even in grihastha life, the disciples are unable to completely follow them 100%, though sometimes, many times fails after putting in sincere efforts to follow a guru's instruction. Then it becomes a burden in his devotional service, starts losing taste. Actually, he doesn't even have taste. if he's not able to follow the regulated principle of no illicit sex life in household life, he doesn't even have taste yet. It's a question of losing taste. He doesn't even have taste yet. He doesn't even know what taste is yet, is it? So, how can he progress with this kind of fear, anxiety of being able to satisfy Guru, also afraid of Guru Aparad? Actually, that fear, that's great. That kind of fear of disobeying my spiritual master, that's the good thing. I'm afraid of disobeying my spiritual master. That kind of fear is very good. When you become sober, you become serious, you see. That's what will enable you to actually get taste. That kind of fear that I don't want to displease my spiritual master. That's very good. That's called love, you see. I don't want to displease my spiritual master. You cannot get taste for Krishna unless you have a taste for pleasing your guru. You think, I want a guru who'll let me do whatever I want, so I don't have to worry about displeasing him. That's simply a nonsense guru. That's one of these, like these Mayavadi gurus. Nonsense. Like, I'm God, you're God, we're all God kind of gurus. They're useless. What if we're inspired by many Maharajas? Great. I'm inspired by many Maharajas also. You should be inspired by many Maharajas. We have many fantastic Maharajas, Maharanis, all kinds of advanced devotees in ISKCON. We should be inspired by all of them. I mean, I have many godbrothers who are like sitting in my heart. I have Prabhupada in my heart. I have many godbrothers in my heart too. God sisters also. I'm inspired by their wonderful Krishna consciousness, you see. So that's great. So how do we come to a conclusion to select one? Whichever one is the most heavy. Because guru means heavy. So you find the heaviest. Huh?
Why don't we follow Krishna's instructions?
Which instruction?
Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah?
Yeah. That we live pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya.
Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, inquiring from him submissively, and when you service unto him, the self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because seeing the truth. So of all these self-realized souls, which one should I take? I see them all as great spiritual masters. Which one should I take? I say you take the one that's most heavy.
I say, who will answer your question and when you are not in the service?
Huh?
Who can answer all your garden?
What if they all can answer all my questions?
But after initiation, they are not able to answer.
What if?
No,
yeah, that's a good point. If the spiritual master. Yeah, we're getting to that in the next question, that point you're making. The spiritual master is accessible. If he's off there, you can never inquire from him. That's a good reason actually not to take initiation, because you're supposed to inquire from the spiritual master. What if he has 10,000 disciples and you can't ever inquire from him personally? You can only inquire from a representative of the spiritual master. Then you may think, well, maybe I should have a guru where I can directly communicate with him. Maybe that's better for me. I know for me that was very important, I'll tell you the truth, that I could personally write Prabhupada. Actually, even there was a policy that only the GBCs, sannyasis, and dhammapatins should write Prabhupada. But Prabhupada gave me an exemption to the policy. Personally gave me an exemption, so I could write him personally. So I recommend a guru who's very merciful in that way. Not, you can't ever talk to him, you can't ever, he's just, you can hear his lectures, but you can't ever directly inquire from him. I recommend that sort of guru maybe. It may not be the best for every devotee, you see. They may need a guru where they can directly inquire from him to get their doubts conquered. Banerjee's point is good. Okay, what if we accept one spiritual master and later on we find some other Maharaj who becomes very close and near to the devotee, and then he gets a thought that this person could have been his spiritual master, could have been a great success. It's like saying, well, I married this woman over here, but I think this other woman would have been a better wife. This is unchaste. This is unchaste. Yeah, the other one, I should have married this other woman instead. This is very, very unchaste. It means you have an unchaste mind. You don't have love for your spiritual master. You're saying it's a commodity, you know.
like a tissue paper for blowing your nose.
Is
it?
Huh? Rajakishore is saying this today, the voice is very bad. Sound.
I'm sorry, Rajakishore. I'm really sorry about it, but it is being recorded, and I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. It's beyond my. Here's one thing I can do. I'm going to go off the class and come back on again, and maybe that will solve the problem. All right, now, the next question. What if we accept, can we aspire our spiritual master to be very close to our family members and have good communication with all the family members? Sure. Fine, if you want to have a guru who will also answer your wife's questions and your kids' questions, that's very good. So find a guru who's very, very much willing and eager to make your whole family Krishna conscious, deliver your whole family back to Godhead. That's very good. Number 6. In the beginning stage, the disciple being Kanishta Adhikari naturally may ask many questions for clarifications, but is it fine that if he, the disciple, always lifelong wants to seek advice from every major event? Yes. I just answered that. One can continue to inquire from the spiritual master. Papa told me, he said, I'm always happy to hear, if there's some urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. You need to find a guru who has that mood, the same mood as Prabhupada. What if a disciple finds repeated failures and is unable to follow the four regular principles, 100% because of his past habits, maybe intoxication, maybe illicit sex, but can he still take initiation? No, of course not. If you can't follow the principles, how can you get initiated? You have to wait. You could, take it later in life or take it in your next life. If you can't get it together in this life, it's better do it now because you never know what your next life is going to be. I wouldn't advise the next life because you don't know where you're going to be. Take advantage of this present life and just, you have to get it together. If you can't do it now, you have to wait. But one thing is, falling into illicit sex takes two to tango. Of course, if you're masturbating, that's another thing. But if you're falling into having illicit sex with your wife, it just takes one of you to get strict and chastise the other one. It just takes one of you to get heavy. You know, the wife can get heavy or the husband can get heavy. It just takes one of you to become a little sober and say, this is nonsense, we're not going to do this anymore, forget it. You see, it just takes one of you. And whoever's more strong, they should get even stronger. And say, okay, that's it. No more. Tough luck. He's going to have to tolerate it. And just remember this nice verse from Jamunacharya Albandru. Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna padaravinde nava nava rasadamanyu ratarantu nasit tadavati battanari sangame smaryamani bhavati mukashushtu nishtivanamcha. Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Lord Sri Krishna tasting sweeter and sweeter pleasure in his transcendental service. Whenever the thought of having illicit sex enters into my brain, or any sex, he says, whenever the thought of sex life enters my brain, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. So you had to learn how to be a good spitter. You have to understand the holy name is better than having sex 10 billion times. One pure utterance of Krishna is better than having sex with 1 billion virgins. One utterance of Krishna. You have to understand what's actually there in the name of Krishna. So it's a matter of becoming sober, realizing what the actual comparison is, and actually living in terms of what you know is actually true. If you don't act in terms of what you know is true, then you'll forget that that is true. You have to live the truth, not just think the truth. You have to live the truth. You cannot realize the truth unless you live the truth. Simply thinking the truth without living it, you'll stop thinking about it after a while, you'll forget it. If you want to realize the truth, you have to live the truth. And if you're not able to do it, if your spouse is able to do it, your spouse should get heavy and chastise you like anything to whip you to your senses. Okay, let's see here. What's next? There's some personal ones. Those will be later. Bhoga grains offered to Krishna in Ekadasi will obviously become free from all sins. Then why devotees cannot accept prasadam with grains on that day? Sin personified takes residence in grains. The prasadam itself is pure, but sin personified camps out in the prasadam, in the grains on Ekadasi. He takes shelter of them. And then the sin is, Ekadasi is over. As soon as the sun comes up the next morning and Ekadasi is over, sin personified then departs from his residing within those grains and beings. That's why. So now that we have any questions coming in from the internet, here we have, let's see, we have Ladini Devi Dasi from China. Envy is cancer. Can it be completely cured? Absolutely. Can be totally cured. Envy is actually nothing but a transformation of pure love of God. Your pure love of God, when contaminated, became envy. So all you have to do, Ladini, is reverse engineer your envy. Just do some reverse engineering and get it back to its original pure state of pure love of God. That reverse engineering is called sadhana bhakti, the process described in the Bhagavad Gita. If you will follow this process, chanting the holy name, satatang kirtayantamam, offering your food, yakya shishta shanashanto, if you'll engage in the activities given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, is explained to you by your spiritual master and other exalted devotees, that will bring about a reverse engineering of that envy you're feeling now will go back to its original state of pure love of God. Okay, here we have more questions coming in now. Let's see the next one. It is said that eventually all will go back to Godhead. That means like an evolution of consciousness? Sure. The destiny of every Prabhupada describes in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a wonderful book. Everyone should read it. The destiny of every living entity is to go back to home, back to Godhead. So it will happen eventually to everyone. It is an evolution of consciousness, yes. There is also a progressive increase in surrendering mentally over lifetimes. It goes up and down. One can be more inclined or less inclined to surrender to Krishna according to one's association and one's development of consciousness. It can go up or down, progressive or regressive. Okay, how to describe what is Krishna prasadam to people who have never heard anything as such as prasadam? Well, it depends on their background. It depends on the individual. There's a million ways you can explain it. But for a Christian, for example, I can explain it to a Christian. In Christianity, what's called the Holy Sacrament. It's taken, I think we took it four times a year, twice a year, something like that. It's considered the body and blood of Christ. We got a little tiny wafer, about maybe about a fourth of an inch, and a little tiny, maybe about a half an ounce of grape juice. And that was it, like twice a year, three times a year. So that was the holy sacrament. But for a devotee, every meal is holy sacrament, you see. You don't have to wait for 3 months to get a little tiny wafer. You can have a whole plate every three times a day. So it's much better situation. Much more power there, much more bhakti shakti. Okay, now we have... So that's just an example. You have to understand how to be creative according to the person you're talking to. Is he a Christian taking the Holy Sacrament? You know, you have to see who you're talking to. Time, place, and audience. It's not one set way of answering a question. Everything is according to time, place, and audience. That's why you have to tune into the super soul to get help. You have to be attuned to the super soul by sincerely chanting Hare Krishna and following Bhagavad Gita principles. And then Krishna will give you the words to say. You'll be amazed. Wow, I could have never thought of that. But I was there, I stuck out my neck by going out to preaching, and Krishna just gave me the words. It's amazing the words that popped into my mouth, you see. That's why book distribution is a fantastic way to increase your Krishna consciousness, because you have to connect with the super soul to know what to say, to actually impact people in a very uplifting way. Okay. Srila Gurudev, Krishna says, always think of me. If we think about his pure devotees, how to serve them better, would that be the same? No, that's not the same. It's better. Prabhupada said it's better actually think about devotees than to think about Krishna. It's better to think about the devotees because that increases Krishna more. He says, ye me bhakti jana aparata dhamme bhakti te janaha mad bhaktanam che ye bhaktas te me bhakti tamamata. The one who is my devotee, he's not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. Okay. Point, you have a... Come again? Gintare is... did I miss her? She's up.
I don't know, did you ask
her? I'm taking him in order, Devi. I don't see her early. I don't think I've missed... I don't think I've gotten that far yet.
Did you go to Premananda?
I'm coming... Premananda is the next in the queue. Premananda from Mumbai. Some persons do not believe scriptures but mystic powers. They have huge followers. When I ask them to read Bhagavad Gita, he is appreciated that Krishna is undoubtedly powerful but still was adamant to follow karma path and like to cut his bad karmas. While preaching, I encounter many people who follow and doing good karmas. When he asked me, what about your karmas? I mentioned about our karma. These persons want to follow what they can see. How to engage these people in service while preaching? Tell them, here's some good karma for you. Give a donation. Take this book. That's very good karma. Gintare, does Krishna give us some difficulties to be convinced by our sincerity in spiritual life? Are all the obstacles and difficulties created only by ourselves? Actually, there are no obstacles and difficulties. We think there are difficulties and obstacles. It's simply, that is the difficulty. The difficulty we have is we think there's difficulties and obstacles. There's no such thing as a difficulty or an obstacle. Instead of stumbling blocks, every single so-called difficulty is actually a stepping stone to take you closer to Krishna. So you got to change your mentality again today. You have to change your mentality. You have to see that obstacles and difficulties are simply on my mental concoction. Okay, we have any local devotees here have questions? Any of the locals? Yes.
Mr. Gurudev, you mentioned that we might not know what life we will take in our next birth. So I hear devotees say sometimes that if one takes Krishna prasadam one time, or even if they say one utterance of the word is Krishna, that they will be guaranteed a human birth in their next life.
Well, not necessarily. Look at Bharata Maharaj. He was a devotee. He'd actually come to a very high level, became a deer in his next life. And I said, okay, Prabhu, I took a club jam the other day, now I can do whatever I want. I go to the brothel, I can smoke marijuana, it doesn't matter. No, not like that. You get the consciousness that you cultivate. If you're if you seriously take this pathway, you don't complete it, yes, you get a human birth. If you don't take it seriously, Las Vegas, the throw of the dice, good luck. You're going to get something. According to your mentality, you will get your next birth. If you're more interested in sleeping than you are in chanting, well, we have a nice species called the bear. You can become a bear in your next life. Maybe you become the bear in the house in a zoo where there's devotees who do kirtan every day. You know, something like that. Because you were Krishna conscious. Maybe a bear where you can be in contact with the holy name. You see what I'm saying? You'll get the reward for your Krishna consciousness. But if you're more interested in sleeping, you are in serving. You know, you might become a bear. If Bharamaras become a deer, you could become a bear if you're too much in the sleep. You see?
So you have to make it very serious. You have to be very serious and very sober. Understand, it's a razor's edge. One little slip and there is blood. It's a very dangerous thing to not embrace Krishna consciousness fully. It's a very, very dangerous thing to do. Very dangerous. Okay? Amala Purana, let's see here. Oh, it's an earlier question?
How to describe what Krishna Prasadam is?
Yeah, I already answered that one. Okay. Yeah. Okay, now let's see. After we have... okay. Kindly enlighten me how to understand it. We want to realize the truth. We have to live the truth. If someone says surrender to Krishna is the highest truth, but they don't do it, or chanting Hare Krishna is the perfection of the tongue, but they don't do it, what is the good of their idea, you know, if they're not following it? The idea is you have to follow it, that's all. You have, this is not, there's jnana and vigyan. You see, jnana means theoretical knowledge. Vigyan is applied knowledge. If you don't apply the knowledge, Prabhupada personally told me, he wrote me a letter back in 72. I got a letter from Prabhupada. He said that, he wrote it in 72. He said that knowledge without practice becomes dry and useless. So you have to follow this knowledge. You can't just talk about it and distribute it. You have to live it. Otherwise you'll lose interest after a while. Gandharvika, how to see Krishna's nose, eyes, and beautiful face everywhere? By anointing your eyes with love of God. Premanjana chadita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hidayeshu valokayanti. I worship Govinda, the Prime Evil Lord, who is Shamasundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So that's what you need. You have to tinge your eyes with the salve of love. So how do you get that premanjana, that salve of love? By hearing from the spiritual master, by hearing from pure devotees, and taking those words very seriously, deep, 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 deep within your heart. In this, by this quality hearing and applying what you've heard, the magic will happen. You actually, your eyes will become anointed with the love of God, and then when you see the deity, you will cry in ecstasy. And just by seeing the deity, you will cry in ecstasy. And you'll be able to visualize Krishna everywhere. Understand he's everywhere.
This should be the last.
Huh?
Amala Purana should be the last one.
Okay, last question, because the time is down to the last 3 minutes. So, okay, let's see here. This is a two-part. Yeah. Okay. The question is in humble mood of inquiry. Lord Brahma is no doubt a very exalted devotee, but is he a pure devotee like the Goswamis, Haridas, Thakur, Prabhupada? It's interesting you mentioned Haridas, because Haridas Thakur is the incarnation of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma appeared in Chaitanya Leela. He's such an exalted devotee, he appeared in Chaitanya Leela as the Namacharya. So he may have some moments of difficulty, which we see in his pastimes. But Narada Muni also had difficulty as well in his previous lifetime. He was a playboy. Actually, you know, Narada Muni was a playboy in the higher planets. He was a playboy. He had so many... He was attracting all the girls. He had a very heavenly voice, and just like the Beatles, you know, attracted all the girls. Beatlemania, he attracted all the girls in the heavenly planets. He came to when Sankirtan of the demigods, they were chanting the glories of the Supreme Person with all of his groupies, and they cursed him to become a Shudra. So that's why he left the heavenly kingdom and took birth on the earthly plane, the son of a maidservant. But from there he became the great Narada Muni. So Rama may have had some difficulty. Yeah?
I've been reading. Rama didn't have any difficulty.
We've heard both things. Prabhupada says both things in his books.
Brahma gave up the body, it says, right? Because he was lusty.
He was showing by example. This is like Shiva became mad after Mohini Murti.
No.
Something similar to that?
Similar. This is just like people get thinking, feeling, and willing. Mm-hmm. Right? So when the thinking comes, that's a body on the mental platform.
Mm-hmm.
Mind is also considered as a body.
So he had some dirty thought came in and he rejected that subtle body?
Yeah.
Now, our Rama is the founder of our Sampradaya, and whatever is there in his pastime is actually ultimately transcendental. Of course, there is the Brahma Vimohana Lila. It's a pastime to show. That's a pastime with Krishna to show that even Lord Brahma can become bewildered. What to speak of us tiny little jivas here compared to Brahma? These are good lessons for us. Even Brahma became bewildered thinking that Krishna was an ordinary boy, so we may also think that Krishna is just some mundane conception or some historical personality or whatever. So these are good lessons for us.
So he discarded that body and then he turned into the cloud and showed that it has come to the twilight and all the demons are up in the twilight.
Mm.
So that kind of mentality is of demons.
So our Rama is a Pirdavati. Otherwise, why would we be the head of our Sampradaya? He's not some kind of a quasi-devotee or some Majjhima Adhikari. He's Uttama Adhikari. Okay. Arbhama is Uttama Adhikari. And we love his prayers. I'll wrap it up. Prabhupada said that with every day we should study with great care and attention the Govinda prayers. It's a regular daily function. So it's very nice if devotees want to memorize the Brahma Samhita prayers, the Govinda prayers. Starting with Chintamani Prakata Sadma Sutta, 529, going up to 555, Yan Krodha Kama Sahaja Pranayadi Bhiti. We recommend this. It's very nice. Devotees want to memorize all these prayers, Sanskrit and English, and recite them as a regular daily function. Prabhupada said, it's a regular daily function with great care and attention. So we recommend this to all the devotees of ISKCON, because Prabhupada actually says it. You can hear it on the recording. He says, the audience and hearers of this record should study and enter into the spirit of these hymns with great care and attention as a regular daily function. So have you ever heard that once? Happened to hear Prabhupada say it once, and you're one of the audience of the hearers. Have you ever heard that recording where Prabhupada says that? We recommend it for all of them. It's a lot of work, but it really pays off. Just imagine every morning you go through the Govinda prayers. Of course, you have to do your rounds. That's the most important thing. But really, even if you just do a few of them, just two or three of them, that's a good start. The Govinda prayers are very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. So we'll stop here. Jantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi.